Thank you for Grieve's fellowship Sunday afternoon. By 2 o'clock, I think we should get started here. Let us pray together. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can meet again with Thee to continue our study in Thy Word. We pray, Father, to bless us, grant us understanding minds and hearts, and be with us in a special way today, Father. May we be drawn closer to Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in chapter 29 in the book of Genesis. We've already talked about Jacob arriving in Haran. Quite a journey, but the Bible passes over that journey, doesn't have anything to say about it. And then, of course, we noticed that Jacob met Rachel at the well. And then we also saw verses 13 and 14, how Jacob met Laban and was invited to his home. And we're now on number 4, where we have Jacob is deceived by Laban. And that is verses 15 to 30 in this chapter here. We already started on that section, and we observed that after Jacob had been at Laban's home for a month, that Laban offered to employ Jacob as a regular salaried employee. We saw that in verse 15. He said, "What shall my wages be?" And Jacob immediately proposed that if Laban would give him his daughter, it would be worth 7 years of service, as far as he was concerned. All right, so that was the plan. Now Laban, as we noticed already, immediately agreed to Jacob's offer. He knew that he was getting a good worker, because he'd already been there for a month, so he had an opportunity to observe him during that month. He saw him working. You know, he didn't sit around and say, "I'm the guest," putting his feet up, but he immediately started helping around. And so he knew that he was getting a good worker. He was also getting a good deal, because we might say that he got 7 years of free service. You know, they could have just said, "Well, I'll take your daughter," but here he's serving 7 years FOC, free of charge. Now, whether at this time Laban was already planning to give him Leah instead of Rachel, that we do not know, because the Bible is silent on that particular area. What we do know is this, according to verse 26, which is, of course, a little bit later explanation, that Laban said, "It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." So what Laban later on explains is that it was contrary to local custom for a younger daughter to marry before an older sister. Now, there's a couple questions about that. You know, he'd been there for, you know, a month, or, I mean, at that point, he'd been there for 7 years. You'd think that after 7 years, he would have gotten a pretty good idea of the local customs. So if there was really such a local custom, you'd think that after 7 years he would have found out about that. But he did not know about it. So the question is raised by some of the commentators, is this something that Laban made up? Because nobody wanted to marry the older daughter. You know, that was basically, you know, the question. Because, you know, why wasn't the older daughter married at this point? You know, why wasn't Leah married? We don't know. You know, because the Bible is silent on a lot of these things. But it does raise some questions in your mind. And you wonder if Laban was really above board, or whether it was really true. You know, because if it was really true that the older one should marry first, you'd think that Jacob would have found out after 7 years. Of course, at this point, he knows nothing about it. But, you know, we don't know how the situation is. But at any rate, if there was such a custom, then Laban certainly should have explained that to Jacob at the time of his proposal. you know, instead of just saying, yeah, 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 that's good, you know, yeah, work for me 7 years and you can have my daughter. But if it was really true that there was such a custom, he should at that point have said, you know, Jacob, that's all good and well, but you know, we have a custom in our country, you'd better pray that the older one will get a wife first, or else you won't be able to marry the younger one. But he never did that. So, you know, in some ways, Jacob got what he had coming, and this, as some people have suggested, because Laban, not Laban, Jacob cheated his brother, you know, and now he's getting it back from his uncle Laban. So, you know, so there's interesting things there. So, but Laban certainly should have explained to Jacob, but he did not do so. And why Leah was not married at this time, we do not know. Genesis 29 verse 17 states that Leah was tender-eyed. And there are some differences of opinion on the interpretation of that phrase, tender-eyed. The different commentators will comment differently. Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum says, and I quote, "The Hebrew word means tender or weak, and indicate that she had poor eyesight." Some of the other commentators say, well, it was not really poor eyesight, but she was just, you know, didn't have the bright, shining eyes that her sister did, and so she was maybe a little bit more tearful in her eyes. So some say it was, you know, that it was definitely that she had eye problems. The other one suggested that, you know, she was a nice girl anyway. And it would seem that the two had similarities. You know, if Rachel was that beautiful, you can't imagine that Leah would have been absolutely ugly, you know, if you want to look at it that way. And the two girls, the two sisters, would have been probably about the same size, you know, probably even their voices would have sounded quite similar. We'll talk about that later on. I remember one time calling my sister, and I thought I had my mom on the phone, but she'd already passed away, so I knew it couldn't be her, but it sounded just like my mom's voice, you know, and sometimes I'd see some of my dad's gestures in what I do, you know, so we do carry some of these things over within the family. But all right, this is the way the situation has developed there. Jacob is deceived by Laban at this point. Well, you might say he's not really deceiving her yet, although he really should have explained, if there really was such a custom, that Jacob, you know, that's all good and well, but we have a custom in our country, you know, you must marry the older sister, must be married before the younger sister married, but he doesn't do so. So that's why the question, was it really a custom, or is it just something that Laban made up to get his older daughter married off too? Well, Jacob gladly served his 7 years for Rachel, and the joyful anticipation of having her for his wife made the time pass very quickly. We're told in verse 20, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. Now, it's interesting that when the 7 years are up, Laban did not seem to notice at all. All right. Now, whether that again was a deliberate thing on his part, again, we don't know. But it is Jacob who has to remind him, hey, the 7 years are up. But he doesn't volunteer that information. You know, so verse 21, Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. So it is Jacob that has to remind Laban and says, the 7 years are gone. Probably Laban was not in a hurry, because after all, he was getting free labor from Jacob, so, you know, he should not be in too much of a hurry to remind him, oh, your 7 years are up now, you know, so it's time for you to have a time for us to have a marriage, a wedding. But at this time now, if not earlier, as we already talked about, Laban resolved to substitute Leah for Rachel on the wedding night. Now and again, this is some strange thing to our understanding. 22, Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. So now that to us would seem very strange again. You know, and it's hard to understand and to follow some of these practices that they had back then. So here they've had the service during the day. They've had the activities going on. Now it becomes evening, and it's at the evening that Laban pulls the switch. All right? Because in the evening he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. The him, of course, is Jacob. So, you know, I mean, he didn't realize it was a different woman. You know, and here again is where we deal with the customs of the local time, because she would have been wearing a veil. Now, in our weddings today, you know, the bride usually wears a veil, but then at a certain stage during the wedding ceremony, you know, you may not kiss the bride, you know, and then the fellow, you know, he will carefully take that veil and move it back over her head, and, you know, the maid of honor will help to make it smooth out, and then he kisses her in front of the whole congregation that is there. You know, so it would be pretty obvious if there was a switch. But even the veil would have been very thin, so he would have recognized it even before he said, "I do," that there would have been a different woman there, not the one that he was planning to marry. But the veils back in those days, they were much thicker. You know, if you look at some of your Muslim women with only the eyes visible, you have no idea whether it's a man or a woman. You know, let's face it, you have no idea. So, you know, if that would be the case, you know, who are you marrying? Now, I don't think it was that eye slit only, but there was a veil covering. And as I said already earlier, most likely the two sisters were roughly the same height. You know, it's not that one was and the other one was like this. You know, he would have immediately noticed that. So roughly the same size. So he couldn't tell that way. The voice would have sounded similar, especially with the veil. May have been slightly muffled. And then he didn't realize there was a switch. And so, you know, they went to bed. It was dark. So, you know, and again, in the dark, there would have been whispering. They would have been talking very loud. And with the whispering again, he did not detect that there was a change of women there. So all this was going on there. So, you know, so Leah wore a veil, so Jacob could not see her face. Leah and Rachel were about the same size. Voices may have been similar. It was dark when they went to bed, and it was not till morning that Jacob noticed the deception. All right, verse 23, we already read that. You know, it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in them to her. And then, verse 25, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Can you imagine waking up? You're thinking there's one girl laying next to you, and you find another girl laying there. I mean, that's the situation that developed there. And so, you know, well, what's going on? So he then, of course, asked Laban about it. And it's then that he said, "Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Yet not I served with thee for Rachel, wherefore then hast thou defiled me?" Now, there's a lot of questions at this particular point. There's a lot left that is unsaid about this account. Where was Rachel when all this was going on? You know, really? You know, I mean, here's the switch. She's been there all day long, and now all of a sudden she has disappeared, and Leah shows up on the scene. You know, so where was Rachel when all this was going on? Did she agree with this switch? Or was it that Laban gave her no choice? Did he lock her up, you know, to avoid her running into the bedroom and saying, "Hey, you got the wrong woman"? You know, again, these kind of things we don't know. And what about Leah? You know, we don't know about her either. What did she think of it all? Now, no doubt, she would have liked to get married, but then, under the circumstances, you know, Dad, what are you trying to do? You know, this is rather strange, isn't it? So, here, all of a sudden, she gets thrown into the marriage bed, and, well, of course, she would have known Jacob, because she's been there for more than 7 years now, so she certainly knew who he was. But there's a lot of these kind of questions that we have. But remember again, the Bible does not give us the answer to these questions. So we should not speculate about these things. But it does raise immediately a lot of questions, you know, about this. And I don't think we have to question this. And that is, when Jacob realized that he had been deceived, his own deception of his father Isaac would have come to his mind. Because he deceived his father. Are you really my son Esau? Yes, I am. But he wasn't. He wore his clothes. His mom had put some skins of animals on his hands and on the back of his neck. So when his father put his hands, feel the hands, yeah. The hands feel like Esau's, huh? Yeah, it all feels like Esau. And yeah, the clothes, they smell like the field, it smells like Esau. But the voice is Jacob's voice, you know. So he wasn't quite stupid either, you know, Isaac at that particular point. But he was deceived. And so, having deceived his father, he now, no doubt, that would have come to his mind when he had been deceived by Laban. And of course, there's one thing for us. Don't deceive people. Tell the truth. All right? That should be very clear for us. So don't deceive people. Tell the truth. Now, it's then that when Jacob asked Laban about the switch, that Laban explained, we've already talked about that verse, verse 26, Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And then he asked, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve thee with me yet 7 other years. So what Laban said is that Jacob could also have Rachel for his wife if he would serve for another 7 years. So he was getting 14 years of free service. But he said, you know, fulfill her week. And that week is not 7 years. That week is really a week, 7 days. Alright? So basically, what is being said is that in the space of 1 week, he ends up getting 2 wives. Leah, first one. Rachel, the second one. So it's not that he got Rachel after the 7 years, the second 7 years of service. So, marriage ceremony, and a week later, there's another ceremony. So he ends up with 2 wives. Now that again raises immediately the question of polygamy. You know, and again, keep in mind that God said one man, one woman. We know that. You know, God made Adam and Eve. But then we also know that the law was not given till Exodus. And this is still in Genesis. So all this is still happening before the giving of the law. So the law made it very clear. One man, one woman. So this is before the law. And then, of course, you also have the example of his grandfather, Abraham. Because Abraham had more than one wife. All right? You say, well, I thought he only had Sarah. Yes, but what about Hagar? So Hagar got involved in that as well. So it was apparently fairly common for people in those days to have more than one wife. And then even with Abraham having Sarah and, you know, Hagar, that's an example there. So this is what they are following there. So, well, of course, polygamy recognizes wrong, but it was practiced in those days before the giving of the law. So that's why it was not entirely opposed. Alright? So it was fairly common at that particular time. Now, we should also note that in addition to the two wives, Leah and Rachel, there's also two servant girls involved. Because in verse 24, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his maid for a handmaid. And then, in verse 29, Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. So, in addition to two wives, both wives now have their maids. Same as Hagar was the maid of Sarah, so now Rachel and Leah both have a maid as well. And we'll see that Jacob has children by both maids as well as by both wives. So he ends up in a sense with four wives, not just two. So it really becomes a mess. Well, Rachel was Jacob's true love. There's no question there. And he could hardly avoid showing this. But he learns to love Leah also, even though he loved Rachel more than Leah, as we read in verse 30. So, and Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So, now I think you understand that the term or the phrase or the expression, he went in unto her, means that they have sexual relationship. All right. So that is the term that is being used here. So it's a euphemism there, or a nice way of saying something. Because that expression is, used earlier in verse 23 about Leah, and now here it's again used about Rachel as well. Well, that brings us to the last part of the chapter, verses 31 to 35, where Leah, although technically she is hated, is blessed by God and has 4 sons. Now, that very fact that she has 4 sons counts shows that she wasn't hated too much. Because if she was hated a lot, she wouldn't have had any children. So we see that, things are there, in the terminology. So that he loved Rachel more than Leah. Yes, that's a better way of putting it. He loved one more than he loved the other one. But Leah is blessed by God. And that God was concerned for Leah as well as Jacob and Rachel is indicated in verse 31. Because it says there, and then the Lord saw that Leah was hated. And the word hated here is certainly not a hatred. As I said already, like he said, I hate you. There was not that kind of a relationship. You might say loveless or unloved, but there was still that relationship. She was still his wife. And that's why I say, of course, Jacob did not actually hate Leah. He only loved Rachel more. And obviously, like I say, he didn't hate her as such because they did have 4 children together here. So Leah made each of her sons in accordance with her feelings at the time, as she expresses. So when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And I think we noted, from the account that a lot of things go by before Rachel has any children. There are 10 children born before Rachel has any. So, and then she finally has 2 and dies at the birth of the second one. So we read in verse 32 that Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. So we should look at some of the names here. So the first one, verse 32, Reuben means basically behold a son. Behold a son. Reuben, ben, or ben, is the Hebrew word for son. you see that sometimes, you know, you had, if you know anything of the history of the Jewish nation or present-day Israel, you might recognize the name David Ben-Gurion. Ben, son of. So David, son of Gurion. So you have, so that's a good, helpful little word, Hebrew word to remember. Bane or Ben. Bane, son, Ben, son of. So you see that. So that's the first one. You know, she has Reuben. Behold, a son. And she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction, so now my husband will love me, because Rachel hasn't given him any sons, but I have. Remember, it's more important to have a son than a daughter, you know, so it's quite interesting, because she has 12 sons, or Jacob has 12 sons, and no daughters are mentioned at all, till they're all finished with the 12 boys, then a daughter shows up on the scene. Alright, we'll talk about that at that time. Well, then we get the second one, verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Alright? The Lord has heard. So Simeon means hearing. The Hebrew verb is shama. So shama is here. So the Lord has heard me. So call the son hearing in thanksgiving that the Lord has heard her prayers. Then in verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son. The third one. And said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Alright, so Levi means attachment, expressing her confidence that 3 sons would ensure Jacob's permanent attachment to her. And then she has a fourth one, verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. So Judah means praise, as a token of her praise to the Lord. Now, if we stop here a moment, you know, if you think back to the Lord Jesus Christ, which tribe was he connected with? Judah. Not Rachel's child, but Leah's child. Interesting, isn't it? Because, no doubt, you know, Jacob would have known that the Messiah would have come from his line. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Oh, Jacob. So, Abraham, well, one son. Alright? Isaac, well, Jacob and Esau. We know Esau's out of the picture, so Jacob would have known that the Messiah would ultimately come from his line. She said, Rachel, that's the one. But God does not think like man thinks. And so we see that the Messiah actually came from Judah, one of Leah's children. And then also, you know, when you come to the worship, first in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then later on the temple worship, it was the Levites, another one of Leah's children. So very interesting how God works. And so he loved Rachel more than Leah, but God said, Leah is the one, I'll use her children, you know, the one, Levi, for the temple worship, the Levites, and then the other one, Judah, for the Messiah. Well, that brings us to the end of chapter 29. And so the last thing that we read was that she left barren. So she had 4 children, at this point 4 sons. So at this point now, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Jacob envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. So as we come to chapter 30, we see first of all the birth of 2 sons of Jacob to Bilhah. And it's obvious that Rachel was very much affected by the fact that her sister had been blessed with four sons while she remained childless. So her envy finally came out, an outburst to her husband. Give me children or else I die. Obviously Jacob wasn't very happy about that, you know, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. He said, am I in God's stead who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? So he pointed out, you know, you're complaining, why don't I have any children? Well, don't blame me, you know. It's not my fault. I can produce children. Look, I got four boys. So it's certainly not my fault, you know. But it's God who has worked in you. It is God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb. And it may be well at this point to just, you know, keep your finger here in Genesis, but just look a moment at Psalm 127 and verse 3. Some of you would recognize that verse, I trust. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. This is something that is well to remember. The last part there, the fruit of the womb is His reward. And here, you know, Jacob says, God has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb. Same term. Alright? So, but you see that parallel there, in a sense, with the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, verse 3. So, it is at this point then that husband and wife are having a disagreement. They're kind of shouting at each other, you know. And she complains, give me children, else I die. Well, what do you expect me to do? You know, I'm not at fault. I've produced four children already. You know, God has withheld from you the fruit of the womb. So he rebukes her. And it is then that, in desperation, Rachel decides to resort to the expedients that had been followed by Sarah many years earlier. You know what Sarah did? She said to Abraham, I can't have any children. Why don't you have a child by my handmaid, Hagar? And so, here, Rachel proposes the same thing, that of having a child through her maid. And she said, verse 3, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. Alright, so now we get in a way three wives, you know, and pretty soon this will be number four. So, again, it would have been better if Jacob and Rachel would have prayed about this issue, you know, and trust God to answer in His own good time and His own will. But just as in the case of Sarah, you know, and Abraham, they hurried up, no patience, let's do things our way. So now again, Rachel, let Jacob do things man's way rather than waiting upon the Lord. And it's important for us to realize that we sometimes must wait upon the Lord. Now we don't like to wait. Especially in this present day society, everything is instant. You know, to have something cooking for 6 or 8 or 10 hours or overnight. No, we got to have everything immediately. It's got to be instant. So that's one of the problems we have today. We tend not to want to wait. That's hard to wait. But sometimes you must wait for the Lord and for the Lord's timing. And ultimately, the Lord's timing is day. But they did not want to wait for the Lord. So, taking things in their own hands, well, she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. So Rachel named the boy Dan. And Rachel said, God, notice that it's Rachel that calls the boy's name, not Bilhah. And Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Alright. Dan basically means justice. Alright. Related obviously to the name Daniel. The L in Daniel you should recognize as God. Dan, judge or justice. And the E for Dan, me, L, the E is my. You know, so God is my judge, Daniel. Alright? We call our older son Daniel. So, alright? So, here she calls the boy Dan, meaning justice, testifying through this name that God had heard her prayer and justified her in her husband's sight. And then, verse 7, Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again. And there Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, Leah, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. So Jacob has a second child with Bilhah. And this one Rachel named Naphtali, which means wrestling. This unusual name was a reference to her long-continued rivalry with her sister. She felt that she had now finally prevailed in this rivalry, and Jacob would be fully restored in his love for her rather than his love for Leah. And maybe we'll stop here for today. And then we have six children now. Six more to go. Actually, seven more to go. Six more sons and one daughter. All right. So, May.
There's
a difference. Yeah. 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 There's a lot of questions here, you know, about some of these activities and things. And I mean, here ultimately, you find Jacob sleeping with four different women. You know, and that raises a lot of questions too. You know, so you know, some of these things are rather sordid details, but you know, this is what the Bible teaches us as well to note. And don't follow Jacob. All right. So, yeah. By the way, it's very interesting. When we were in Africa, ministering there, there's a lot of polygamy going on in Africa. I realize Chinese traditional also have a lot of polygamy, but polygamy today is disappearing in Africa because of economic reasons. The men cannot afford to have two wives. So it's become an economic reality that one wife is all that they can afford. So that's interesting, you know, to see that. So polygamy is becoming less because of the cost of maintaining more than one wife. So, but yeah, there's a lot of problems here. They should have rested and trusted God and worked things out. Alright, thanks, Lee. Alright, so next week we'll continue to look at the birth of the two sons of Jacob and Bilhah. Let us close in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can spend this time here looking at this passage in your word. Lord, some of the details are not very pleasant, and certainly by our understanding of things, we would probably say definitely wrong. And yet, Lord, we do see this in the word of God. And Father, may we learn from it that we may uphold the truth of the Word of God. Lord, we realize that Jacob did not have any part of the Bible at all in his days, but we have the complete Bible. So, Father, help us to learn from the Word of God what we should do and what we should not do. And help us, above all, to glorify Thee in all that we do. And so, Lord, we do ask now also for thy blessing upon the worship service to follow. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe I can just go to mention.